recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you're the executive producer.
With your host, Dimitri Ravenos. And it starts now.
Welcome to week two of the Barrett Sports Media Producers Podcast. I am still Dimitri Ravenos, as far as I know. Today's guest is Adam Sager from the Sean Salisbury show on Sports Talk 790 down in Houston. And I really like Adam's story of getting into the business because for him, sports radio was a dream job he didn't even know could be a reality until another dream job definitely was no longer going to be a reality for him. Adam grew up in a family of police officers, and his goal growing up was to be a cop as well. And it wasn't until an injury made it almost impossible for him to pass some of the physical field tests that he started thinking about what else he could do. Well, that led him to the Illinois Media School. He just heard an ad for it on 670 The Score in Chicago, where he grew up. So he goes to the Illinois Media School, does his time there, parlays that into an internship with The Score, parlays that into running the board for a minor league baseball team and doing a news shift in the Chicagoland area out in the suburbs. From there, he goes to SB Nation Radio in Houston. That is where Adam and Sean Salisbury are first paired up. And then Sean, after 4 years of Adam working there, tells the staff that he is headed across town to iHeartMedia to join Sports Talk 790. And I'm going to let Adam pick up the story from here, and we'll touch on all different aspects of producing in the sports radio industry. But I wanted to give you a little bit of background before we jump in. This is my interview with Adam Sager of the Sean Salisbury Show and Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Let me ask you this, and I don't want to put you or on the spot or have you put Sean on the spot, but when he left SB Nation, was it just coming into you guys and saying, look, I've got this opportunity, I'm out of here? Or was it, I'm going over to 790, give me time, I will figure out a way to keep as much of this together as I can?
Yeah, it wasn't like Sean came in one day and was like, hey guys, I'm out, peace out, I'll see you later. He kept me and our other co-hosts kind of attuned to what was going on, because it all had to do with, you know, contract negotiations and all those stuff.
Sure.
with the big time hosts. And he was great. He, you know, kept us in touch. He's made sure that I was going to keep my job there, you know, just doing everything he could for me and our other co-hosts on the show, because the TV show was going to go away and we weren't sure what that meant for the three of us. But he was really good, and he did tell, you know, he told me, I'm going to do everything I can to get you over with me over at Sports Talk 790, and hopefully you can join the team there. Even if it's not with him, you know, a different show, a different role, whatever it may be, he was really good about that and really pushed. And when I did finally get that opportunity to even just get a board op, he was the first one to call our program director and be like, listen, you got to hire this guy. And then it just worked out that some changes were going on there at Sports Talk 790, and I was able to jump aboard his show with him and Mike O'Connor. And then we got moved to mornings right after that. And
right.
It's been a good, I want to say about 5-6 months now we've been doing the morning show.
So
and
when
like I
you,
said, everything's going great.
When you go over there and you guys are immediately, or almost immediately once you arrive, moved into mornings, was there any sort of trepidation on your part of, oh boy, I don't know how stable of a position this is? Or, I mean, you and Sean have had a relationship now for a long time. Did you just trust that this is the guy that you were going to hitch your wagon to? And if he says this is a good idea, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I was. I really trust Sean. Me and Sean aren't even just coworkers. We've become really good, close friends. And that's the best part about this business. You build such good relationship with guys because you spend so much time together, especially in a small setting where it's just a few of you on each show. So me and Sean have developed that relationship, you know, that friendship over the last 4 years, 5 years, whatever we've been together, that I just felt, you know, he thought the mornings were going to be best. And there was no question in my mind I was going with him to mornings, because I had the opportunity, you know, I had the option. Did I want to stay in afternoons? Did it work better for my schedule? Whatever it was. And to be honest, afternoons probably would have been better for me, my schedule wise, with kids and the wife and everything. But I knew my best chance to to make it further in this business, to further my own self and help that show grow in the mornings, was going to mornings with Sean and sticking by his side.
How much of show prep is show prep divided? Because if you are comparing, let's just start with Rolodexes, I mean, probably of the three of you, nobody has the contact Sean does.
Right. Yeah. And that's something, you know, we've definitely kind of combined. I was new to the business when I went to Yahoo Sports Radio, which turned into SB Nation Radio. So I just started building it, you know, through the black books and the blue books and all that. And then just when I was working, I worked with Sean Salisbury, obviously, and Steve Bunin together on Prime Cut there at SB Nation Radio. And I mean, between those two, the Rolodex was amazing. So, you know, they just kept telling me, hey, if we give you a number, don't be afraid to keep it and use it down the line, because a lot of these guys we have on will come back on with us or you in the future if you build a relationship with.
Right.
So, definitely they've helped me in that aspect, him and Mike Pearson, who's now an executive producer at ESPN LA. I've had some great people behind me that have helped push me forward, especially when it comes to the Rolodex, because to me, that's kind of the hardest thing to build those relationships with guys that maybe you look at and you're like, oh, I don't know if I even want to bother this guy. Like for me, I grew up in Chicago, Mike Ditka.
Mm-hmm.
I had never met him before. I met him once when I was a little kid, but it was a 2 second thing.
Right.
And, you know, Sean's like, here, call Mike Ditka. And I'm like, whoa, being a Bears fan growing up, 85 Bears, everything. I call him up, and now it's easy for me to call Mike Ditka and be like, hey, Mike, do you want to come on with Sean?
Yeah.
And he always says yes. And he's one of the nicest people I talk to in this business when it comes to that sort of situation.
So what about the other aspects of producing? Tell me what it looks like after the show each day. Do you guys immediately start adding to the rundown? Is there even a rundown, or do you guys go in knowing here are topics A, B, and C, and we'll sort of work on the fly here?
Yeah, we're more the latter. We're more the working on the fly. We all have an idea. The three of us, we come in, me and Michael are normally, we get sound in the morning, kind of figure out what we want, what, you know, whatever's relevant. And if we don't use it, we don't use it, but we get enough sound for the whole day, even some of the next day if we can. And me and Sean sit down, and then Michael comes in and we just sit down and we just go over everything. We go over, okay, what's topic A? What do we think topic B is? Is it Astros or is it luck? You know, whatever it may be that day here in Houston. And we just kind of figure out where we think the topics are. And then we just ride it as long as, you know, we feel like we're getting good calls or our banter going back and forth isn't getting stale.
Right.
Or isn't, you know, we're starting to get repetitive and you can just tell that the topic's dying for that moment. So we're more of a on the fly. Kind of, we love having subjects come up out of nowhere that don't even have to do with sports. That's some of our best radio, I swear, is when it's just a topic comes up and it just, it hits and we love going off on those tangents. So we're more on the fly and not so structured. We were structured with the TV show because we almost had to be for them back in Miami with BN. And to be honest, a lot of times we didn't like it because we felt like we were constrained to a certain time on this topic. And if we didn't get to say what we wanted, we couldn't take it over to the next segment. And we didn't like that. So me and Sean being together, we've kind of learned each other what I like, what he likes, how we each like to do things. And now we're almost in sync. I can walk in the morning and I can tell Sean what the five topics are, and he's going to have those five exactly written down already.
Yeah.
So that's where it's nice. We've grown together over these last 4 or 5 years.
So then what is the workload like for you to, you know, in the moment, make it look like you're not working at all? I mean, how early are you into the studio each morning? And because you guys work so much on the fly, I mean, I would just guess, I don't know, but I would just guess then there's probably not a whole lot of time dedicated to prep throughout the day after the show is over.
A lot of the times for me, like say, okay, show ended a couple hours ago for me today. I've come home. I know that today we spent majority of the show on Andrew Luck's retirement.
Right.
And I know that tomorrow we're going to get more in depth to the Texans. Now I've watched the Texans Cowboys preseason game twice already, but I've already started to go back and just kind of look over, see what I missed in that first half, see what's important. And I know we're going to talk offensive line tomorrow because that'll come up. with the Texans, because it always does. So I get in and I watch that, and I try to always take a break, because I'm always thinking, I'm always looking, I'm always reading stories when baseball, whatever it is, because overall for me, I'm just a sports fan. I'm a sports junkie that I love to read everything or watch anything I can. And so a lot of the prep to me is just watching. Right. Astros, well, they don't play tonight, but if they had a game tonight, I'm ready to go at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever time they start. And I love to just sit down and watch those. I take notes during it. And that's kind of just my prep as I go throughout the day. I just do a little bit at a time and try and take a couple hours out of the day to spend with my kids and my wife and get up. I'm up at 3:30 every morning, and I try to be at the studio by 4:45 at the latest. I like to have my sound in. I get everything done before Sean gets in. So right. Then I can go in the room with him and we can start going through everything of topic A, topic B, and figuring out where we want the show to go for that day.
Yeah. When you guys are on the air, and especially with a show that kind of works on the fly as opposed to working with a rundown, how much of trust does Sean put in you to kind of know, okay, I think we're done with this topic, time to move on to something else? Or just how much trust does he put in you to shape the overall sound and flow of the show from day to day?
Yeah, basically for us sound wise, we love to come back with sound. Sean likes that added to the show to bounce off of, whatever it may be. If it's Jim Irsay said something about Andrew Luck, and that's kind of where we want to start, and then we go. And to be honest, as a show, the three of us, we kind of just, I don't know what it is. We just kind of feel when something's not going or it's done, you can tell things start to, I don't want to say quiet down because you don't want that on radio, but you just see guys' answers start getting quicker. And then we know, I'll just be like, I'll twist my finger around in the air and be like, okay, let's wrap this up and move on.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we all, there's times where Sean's like, no, I'm not ready to move on yet. And that's fine. Or there'll be times where he'll move on. I'll be like, I think you could have taken this 5 more minutes, but that's radio. That, everybody's not going to see eye to eye on everything. And that's a dynamic of a host and producer that I think is overlooked, because a lot of the times guys don't see eye to eye, but if you can make it work and you're close enough that you can say, hey, let's wrap this up. You're starting to bore people because you're just repeating yourself. Sean's really good about being like, okay, let's go. Let's move on. Yeah. And we'll go to the next topic and hit it again in an hour or two.
So I know obviously you guys are close, but even people that are close, because of everyone's sort of intense focus on their own role in a show, sometimes headbutting can happen during the breaks. It sounds like you guys kind of are in lockstep almost. I mean, it sounds like that doesn't happen much for you guys.
Yeah, we really are. That's the perfect word to use, is lockstep. I mean, the three of us, I didn't know, I had never met Michael Connor in the entire time. Sean went there and Michael joined his show. So Sean's known him about 6 more months than me. And I swear, it felt like it was just kind of meant to be when he came in, because me and him, we just know, okay, this is what I'm doing, this is what you're doing in the morning, and we just know the difference, the way we're going to do things, and things always seem to just click. I mean, I know there's going to be that time where somebody blows up,
yeah,
but we haven't had it yet, and we are really in lockstep, and things are starting to really click, and I can tell the show is even from the 3 month to the 4 month mark, got a lot better. So I like the way things are heading with this show. And I think we can be great. I think we can have one of the best shows in the country.
It is interesting, or I should say it's got to be interesting to work in Houston, because that is a crowded ass sports market in terms of sports radio. Just off the top of my head, there are what, 5 sports stations in Houston? There's, if you include the ones that are straight network feed.
Yeah, there is a couple, gosh, I couldn't even name what station they're on. That's just all Fox Sports Radio or whatever it right. is. But there's Sports Talk 790. There's 610, Sports Radio 610. There's ESPN 97.5. And then there's 94.1, Sports Map 94.1, which I think is just kind of, they collaborate with 97.5, where I used to work at Gao. And they just kind of cross, simulcast all their radio there between those two stations.
And then Intercom also has a smaller AM that is just a straight CBS sports feed. I only bring that up because you guys went through a big lineup change not too long ago. 610 mm-hmm. just went through their own big lineup change. I guess the judicious way to say it is you never know from day to day what is going to happen with the Gao stations in terms of their lineup. So with so many stations competing and trying to optimize what it is they have, and nobody has really been able to jump up in a huge way in the ratings to where, you know, 790 or 610 or 97.5 are consistently top three with men. How much are you paying attention to the competition, and how much are you just focused on, let's make Sean's show the very best it can be?
I think the latter is the most important thing for us. We're not concerned with what other people are doing.
Are you aware of what other people are doing?
Yes. Yeah, we definitely know what they're doing, but we know that, you know, they're not going to just blow us away with content. We know that we can put anything out there just as good as anybody, if not better. And we know 610 has the Texans. They're the Texans' flagship, and that's going to draw people into them. And we have the Astros and the Rockets, so that's going to bring people to us. We just know if we put out great content around all three teams, and then we're really trying to add in a lot of college football this year and more just NFL overall, because the one thing about Houston is it's a big transplant city.
Right.
A lot of different people, me included. I'm from Chicago. Sean's from California and lived all over the place. So to me, I think if we can, I won't say broaden our horizons outside the Astros and Rockets, because that's the bread and butter, and the Texans. But if we can, you know, capture a few people, be like, man, these guys talk a lot of NFL. You know, they talk Patriots or Dolphins or Bears or Seahawks, you know, Rams all around the country. And they say, you know, I'm not from Houston. I don't just care about the Texans. I want to talk about everything, or I want to talk about my team.
Yeah.
We feel like we're the type of show that anybody can call in, because that's one good thing about me and Sean and Michael. I can tell you about the Seahawks right now just as good as I can tell you about the Texans, because that's how much I'm out there watching everything. Mm-hmm. I don't just focus on one single thing right here in Houston. We like to show everybody we can do everything in this business, in this town.
If I took your show and put it up against Payne and Pendergrast and the sort of amalgamation of what makes up the morning shows on 97.5, what is it you would say definitively you guys do the best of those three stations?
I think it's a mixture of, we're not just sports. A lot of times when I hear the other station, 610, it's just a lot of sports, heavy hitting Texans, you know, that's their bread and butter. And that's the Texans are their team. That's who they have on their station. So I understand that. And then 97.5, it's a lot of, you know, guy talk, a lot of fun. I love John Granato. And, you know, he was one of the first guys I produced for, him and Sean, when they were together over there. And him and Lance Zierlein are a great duo. But I feel like when you take the 4 hours of the Sean Salisbury show, you have a lot of laughs, because if I can't get Sean laughing in the morning, I didn't do my job for the day.
Right.
That's kind of my thinking going in, because Sean has sports taken care of. I can't tell Sean anything about sports that he doesn't already know. In fact, you know, he tells me a lot more stuff than I tell him. So if I know if I can get him laughing on something non-sports, even if it's for 3 minutes and he just gets laughing and gets going on something, we've talked to so many listeners now, because Sean does this round table where he invites 7-8 people in every single week. They go to, you know, a restaurant, and we just talk. They're all listeners that, you know, had to get their way into this thing. They all say they just want to laugh. They love it when we get laughing, because, you know, if MC comes up with some story that we're like, what the hell are you talking about? And Sean gets laughing. I swear that's when the people, we get more calls on anything. I mean, last Friday we did what's the best comedy movie of all time as our question of the day.
Right.
I'm not kidding. We had 250 calls in a 4-hour show. I couldn't even talk because I'm too busy answering the phone.
Yeah.
So it's just that mixture of hardcore sports that we can give anybody better than anybody here in Houston, but also the laughs. We're gonna talk about stuff that you'll never even think of in your life because, you know, Sean always calls it, you know, we're all idiots. That's what he keeps saying about us. You know, you guys are idiots, or, you know, and we'll say, no, you're the idiot. And it's such good banter between us with the fun that it just makes the sports that much easier to talk about because, you know, we're not arguing about something. It's just a nice banter back and forth. And it doesn't feel, cause I always hated when I was listening to sports radio and guys would get in arguments. I always just thought it was stupid. Cause then it would always get a little personal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes away like, okay, now you're not talking to the fans. You're not trying to entertain us. You guys are just arguing with each other.
Yeah.
I like the banter going back and forth of, well, this is why I think Deshaun Watson's the best quarterback in the league. And, you know, this is why it's Tom Brady, whatever it may be. I just like that banter. I don't like the argument. And that's where we keep it, where it's always professional. And we can talk about sports just as good as anybody. And we have more fun than anybody in this city.
So we have certainly gone over time here, but there are two questions I like to ask at the end of every show. So if you got to move through them quick, I understand, but I do want your honest answer. What is, in your mind, in a perfect world, what is your next step?
My next step is, you know, I feel lucky that I'm here and that I was able to stay with Sean moving to Sports Talk 790. I feel like, you know, I'm technically the producer, executive producer. I book the guests. I do all that stuff. But I also get a ton of run on air, more on air talk time than I've ever gotten since I've been in the business. And to me, I do want to be a host. That's my ultimate goal, whenever that time may be. And, you know, I'm never afraid to listen to anybody when it comes to, you know, if some little station wants to come in and say, hey, you know, we want you to be our afternoon guy. If it works out and that's what I want next in my life, then perfect. If not, I'm very content. I love working with Sean and Michael, and moving over to Sports Talk 790 has been, I don't want to say a godsend, but it's been very, very good for me in this business, learning it and expanding what I knew already coming from Gal Media. So, right now, my future's up in the air, but I love where I'm at. And if I stayed with Sports Talk 790 for the next, you know, 30 years, whatever, I'm 34. If I was with them for the next 30 plus years, that would be fantastic. I would love that because the company I work for right now is amazing.
And last but not least, what is it that you think hosts and PDs sometimes overlook? What do you wish they knew or understood better about your job?
You know, I think it's just a lot of what goes into a lot of hosts that I've worked with in the past. And I've kind of, you know, I tell Sean this quite a bit. It's just, if you want sound, I can't have it immediate like that second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if it's something you want, like if I walk in during the break and Sean's like, hey, can you grab this? I'll be like, yeah, you got to give me 3-4 minutes at least so I can find it, get it in the system and have it ready to play. I've worked with so many hosts that'll be like, hey, I need this coming out of a break. And you'd be like, okay, I got to see if I can get it in time. And then when you don't have it, they're angry. It's just more like, we don't just have magic wands back behind the board and everything. It's not something that we can just say, voila, here it is and start playing. It takes work. It takes time to put in sound and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. But overall, I mean, the guys I've worked with over the years, the hosts have all been really, really good.
Yeah.
Except for maybe a few, but I've been lucky in my 6 years or so in this business. I've really enjoyed my time and worked with a lot of good people.
So let's wrap today talking about the role of a producer in terms of being the booker for the show. It's a fine line, right? I think that used to be such the focus of this job that I know I've lost out on jobs before because my Rolodex at the time was not strong enough. I know plenty of people, plenty of young guys that I think are talented, creative dudes that get told, you just don't have enough contacts. I think for the most part, as I see what our clients are doing and sort of follow some of these job searches, I think that is changing a little bit. And I think that's for the best because as much as having a strong Rolodex is important, I think the role of a producer as a booker, what is more important is you get the right guests for your host, not just the biggest names all the time. And the best way to get the right guests is to let your host guide you a little bit. Find out who they have relationships with already. Find out who they can make the call to line up because of a friendship. Look, guys that know each other are always going to sound better talking on the radio. Now, does that mean a producer's goal should be to do as little work as possible when it comes to booking the show? Absolutely not. But I do think that when you are looking for guests for a show, let what your host wants to do, let what your host's overall goal is guide you in figuring out what guest it is that you are going to put in that prime block, that prime quarter hour for your listeners. And I don't know if that so much means that you turn it over completely to the host, but it's got to be a little more teamwork than the role stereotypically has been in the past. All right, that is where we're going to put a pin in it for today. We will be back with you next week. Remember, from now on, the show is dropping on Wednesdays, and that sort of clears the way on Mondays for the Under the Radar podcast at Barrett Sports Media. My name is Demetri Ravanis. I will talk to you next week.
You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Demetri, follow him on Twitter at Demetri Ravanos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com.